This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Welcome to today's program. My name is Rick Renner, and today I'm here with Mr. Joel Renner. Hey, welcome, Joel.
Thank you, Dad. It's good to be with you.
You know, Joel, every year we do 1 week of programs called Questions and Answers, and today we're going to do Questions and Answers with Rick Renner, year 2025, and these are always fun programs because I'm with Joel and we have a good time together, and we really take a deep dive into various questions that you have been sending to me for a year. So we're going to answer them, and it comes with a study guide, and we're also offering a wide series of books this week, and everything on our website right now is
25% off.
25% off. That is just amazing. So please go to our website, take advantage of that amazing discount, or give us a call, and please let us know how to pray for you. We are waiting to pray for you. Joel, we really pray, don't we?
Absolutely. Every day in our office, we receive hundreds of phone calls of people reaching out for prayer, and it is an honor to pray with anybody about their needs.
And we don't just get prayer requests, we get praise reports from people who call back to say, you know, I called in for prayer, I wrote in for prayer, and listen to what happened. And we really believe Jeremiah 33:3, which says, call unto me, I'll hear you, I'll answer you, I'll show you great and mighty things. I know you can pray by yourself. Of course you can. But sometimes it helps to have somebody agreeing with you in prayer, and that's us. We want to agree with you in prayer. Call out to God in faith. Pray scripturally, which is important, and God will hear us, God will answer, and Jesus will do what needs to be done in your life. And I want to say thank you for being a partner with our ministry, because of your help, we're able to take the trusted teaching of the Bible around the world. But Joel, let's get right into the program. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, let's do it. What's question number one?
What is the rebellion spoken of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3?
Well, reach for your Bible, because we're really going to use the Bible a lot in the program this week. And I've already got my Bible open to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, because I knew Joel was going to ask that question. But I want to begin in verse 2. And in verse 2, Paul says, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ has come. And Joel, I just want to pause there and say, the subject of the rapture and the second coming has always spooked people. And here we find that even when Paul was still alive, the Thessalonians had been wrongly told that the rapture happened and they missed it. You know, when I was growing up and I was a kid, I was terrified about the subject of the rapture. And by the way, recently I wrote a book called The Rapture, the Antichrist, and the Tribulation, an End Times Countdown and What Happens Next. And the reason I wrote this book is because of people that are afraid of this subject. And people really get panic stricken over the subject of the rapture. And I want to give you the RIV of this verse. Listen to this. Are you ready? The RIV, which is the Renner Interpretive Version of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2. Now, it's quite extensive, but this is an interpretation. Some things will be happening right before his coming that could shake you up quite a bit. Well, you know, look at the world we're living in. I mean, this is really appropriate. It says, I'm referring to events that will be so dramatic they could really leave your head spinning. Occurrences of such a serious nature that many people will end up feeling alarmed, panicked, intimidated, and even unnerved. Naturally speaking, these events could nearly drive you over the brink emotionally, putting your nerves on edge and making you feel apprehensive and insecure. I wish I could tell you these incidents were just going to be a one-shot deal, but when they finally get rolling, They're going to keep coming and coming, one right after another. That's why you have to determine not to be shaken or moved by anything you see or hear. You need to get a grip on your mind and refuse to allow yourself to be traumatized by these events. If you let these things get to you, it won't be too long until you're a nervous wreck. That's why you have to decide beforehand that you're not going to give in and allow fright to penetrate its way into your mind and emotions until it runs your whole life. I think that is an amazing interpretation of that verse. And it's so appropriate because today, if you go to the internet, especially if you go to YouTube, there's all kinds of things that are fear-driven, panic-driven. People are saying all kinds of things just to get people to click their site, and it really puts people into a state of fear. But Paul clearly told us the King James Version is a little bit more succinct, but it says that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. So from the very beginning, people have been a little panic-stricken about the subject of the rapture and end time events. But Joel, one reason I wrote this book called The Rapture, the Antichrist, and the Tribulation is because when you know what the Bible teaches, it removes your fear. It removes all the panic. Now, read your question one more time because now I'm going to answer it.
What is the rebellion spoken of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3?
All right, so let's go to verse 3. And verse 3 continues, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," what day? That day, the coming of the Lord, "that day shall not come except first there come a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So now we find that before the coming of the Lord, there's going to be a falling away. In Joel, in Greek, it is the word apostasia. It's where we get the word for apostasy. It's a compound of two words. The first word is apo, which means away. The second part of the word is histomi, which means to stand. But when you put the two words together, it's one that steps away from something. Mm. Now, we're living in a time today when people are strangely trying to say that this word apostasia might describe the rapture of the church, when the church is going to depart. That is not what it means. You know, I love a lot of folks who are teaching that, but they are categorically wrong. When you teach the Bible, you have to determine how a word is historically used. And this phrase, a falling away, the Greek word apostasia, is always used to describe a defection. It is used to describe a rebellion, a mutiny. It is never used in a positive sense. It is always something mutinous, something horrible. And that is how Paul uses it here. You have to understand that God chose Paul to write most of the New Testament because Paul was a linguist. Paul knew exactly how these words were used. And when you come to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, and he uses the word apostasia, which here is translated as the words falling away, Paul uses it historically in a correct way. He's describing a departure from the faith. And that agrees with what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, where he said, "In the last days, some are going to depart from the faith." He's talking about the very same thing. But here he's describing a worldwide mutiny that is going to occur in the very end of the age. And something else very important, the words falling away in Greek has a definite article, which means this is very, very specific. This is going to be a falling away in a category by itself, unlike any that has ever occurred before. Well, if you look at 2,000 years of church history, and Joel, I know I'm giving you a lengthy answer to your question, but it's an important question. There have been many times when people have defected or fallen away from the faith. But because here you have a definite article, this is the falling away. It's not just a falling away. This is the apostasy, not just an apostasy. It's going to be like any other time. So at the very, very end of the church age, just before Christ comes and just before the Antichrist is revealed, the world is going to be primed and prepared for his manifestation. And notice that verse 3 calls the Antichrist the man of sin. The word sin here is really the word anomia. It's really would be better translated the man of lawlessness. So it tells us the world is going to become a lawless place at the very end of the age. And when I say lawless, I don't mean that just chaos is going to be running in the streets, though that is happening in many places. but it really describes a society that will throw off the law of God. They're going to say, we've already been there, we've already done that. We're going to become a new progressive people. We're going to go a new direction. We're going to embrace new morals, new ethics, new beliefs. We're going to throw away what we used to believe, and we're going to become a nomia. We're going to become a world that is constructed without all those old rules, a place where new rules begin to govern us. And just when the world has become lawless, that's when the man of lawlessness will appear. In other words, the world will be primed and prepared for his manifestation. Now, I want to give you the RIV. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Because the RIV of this verse is really good. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Listen to this. In light of these things, I urge you to refuse to allow anyone to take advantage of you. For example, you won't need a letter to tell you that the day of the Lord has come. You ought to know by now. Now, this is really what the Greek text says. You ought to know by now that that day can't come until first a worldwide insurgency, rebellion, riot, and mutiny against God has come about in society. Once that occurs, the world will then be primed, prepared, and ready to embrace the man of lawlessness. So when the Bible talks about rebellion in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, or a falling away, all translated from the Greek word apostasia, it is a prophecy that society at large is going to depart from the rule of God's word and from Judeo-Christian ethics. The world is going to go a new way, and this will be part of the devil's process to prime and prepare the world for the man of lawlessness, who is the Antichrist.
Wow.
How's that for an answer? By the way, Joel, all of that is in this book on the rapture.
I think it's very good.
Thank you, Joel.
Okay, the next question. Who is the restrainer in Scripture, or do we know?
All right, well, let's look at that. So as we continue in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says this in verse 6. He says, and now you know what withholds that he, the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. Notice it says in his time. He's not going to be revealed until it's the time for him to be revealed. But according to verse 6, there's something that is withholding, something that is postponing or stalling or putting on the brakes to stop him from being revealed until his time. Now, when his time comes, he's going to be revealed. But this verse says something is restraining him or withholding him. And then you go to verse 7 and it continues and says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now lets, that's the same word restrains, will let or will continue to restrain until he, the restrainer, is taken out of the way. Well, the word let, the word restrain, in Greek it's all the same word. It is a form of the Greek word kat, echo. And the word kata means down, and the word echo means to hold. But when you put the two words together, it means to hold against, to restrain, to postpone, to oppose, to stall, to put on the brakes. And according to these verses written by Paul, there is some kind of a force in the earth right now that's putting on the brakes. It is stalling. It is postponing the manifestation of the Antichrist. The question is, who is the restrainer? Well, in this book, I cover that question. And throughout 2,000 years of church history, there have been various ideas about who is the restrainer. The earliest idea, you're going to be surprised, the early Christians thought it was the Roman Senate. They actually said, wow, if we didn't have a Senate, there's no telling what these crazy emperors would do. And they felt that government was the restraining force to hold back evil. Then there was a second thought, that it was Michael the archangel. And the reason people thought that it was Michael the archangel is because if you go to Daniel chapter 10, Michael the archangel wrangles with principalities and powers. If you go to the book of Jude, you find that Michael the archangel is the one that disputes with Satan and over the body of Moses. It seems like he's always contending with evil. And so there were people who believed the restrainer was Michael the Archangel. Then there's another group who says, well, the restrainer is the preaching of the gospel. Because when you preach the gospel, it holds back evil, and that is absolutely the truth. And then there's another group who says, no, the restrainer is the Holy Spirit, and one of these days, the Holy Spirit is going to be removed from the earth. But that's wrong. That is 100% wrong. Because during the tribulation, as I cover in this book, people are going to get saved. Well, you can't get saved without the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit's not in the earth, nobody can get saved, so it can't be the Holy Spirit. But the real clincher, the real key, is in verse 7, which says, only he who now restrains will continue to restrain until he be taken out of the way. But when you read this in Greek, it says, until he is removed from the middle of everything. Mm. Well, we know the Holy Spirit's never going to be removed. We know that Michael the Archangel is never going to be removed. Well, who's going to be removed from the middle of everything, and who is in the middle of everything? The church. We're everywhere. Praise God. We're in the entertainment world. We're in the judicial world, the educational world. We're in every part of society, every facet of the world. You can find the church. You know, I just came out of the sports gym the other day. And when I came out of the gym, I was paying for my parking because I go to the gym 3 times a week. And there was somebody who walked right up to me and said, Pastor Rick, I go to your church. I thought, you know, our people are everywhere in Moscow. And that's true of the church everywhere. We are everywhere. But a day is coming when the restrainer, that's us, the church, we're going to be taken out of the midst of everything. We're going to evaporate. We're going to be gone. And that's what we're taught about the rapture of the church in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. We really are going to be evacuated instantly. We're going to be snatched. We're going to be removed from the middle of everything. And when we are removed, that is when the Antichrist shows up. You know how I know that?
How?
The next verse. Look at it. The next verse says, and then. In Greek, it says, and then in that very precise moment, that wicked one shall be revealed. And in Greek, the words wicked one has a definite article. So he's not just a wicked one. He is the wicked one. Wicked like no one has ever been wicked. And the word revealed is a form of the Greek word apokalupto. The word apo means away. The word kalupto means to veil. You put the two words together, it means in that precise moment when. When the church is removed, in that very moment, and not until. But when the church is evacuated, then at that precise moment, the curtains are going to be pulled back, and the wicked one is going to appear center stage. Now, Joel, I want to read this to you from the RIV. Are you ready for this? Get ready, because this is amazing. The RIV of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Listen to this. Now, in light of everything I've told you before, you ought to be well aware by now that there is a supernatural force at work, preventing the materialization of this person and the disclosure of his identity. This restraining force I'm referring to is so strong that it's currently putting on the brakes and holding back the unveiling of this wicked person, stalling and postponing his manifestation. But when the right moment comes, this evil one will no longer be withheld, and he will emerge on the world scene. The screen that's been hiding his true identity and guarding him from world view will suddenly be pulled back and evaporate, and he will step out on center stage to let everyone know who he is. Is that amazing?
Amazing.
That is amazing. But the church is the great restrainer. I also cover that in this book. Oh, Joel, I'm just enjoying this time so much.
I'm paying so much attention. These are very full answers.
Thank you for asking. What's the next question?
Will Christians be around when the Antichrist appears, and will we be able to recognize him?
We will not be here. And the mark of the beast is going to be given only after the Antichrist appears. And since we'll be gone, it means we don't need to worry about the mark of the beast. This is another example of how good teaching gives you peace. For example, during the pandemic, I heard people say, well, I'm afraid to take the vaccine because it might be the mark of the beast. Well, perhaps you didn't want to take the vaccine for other reasons. I respect whatever reason you had, but the vaccine was not the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast is not going to be given as long as the church is here. It is not going to take place. That will be issued by the Antichrist, and the Antichrist is only going to show up after the church has been evacuated. Then that wicked one shall be revealed, and all of his activities, including the mark of the beast, will all occur after the church is gone, which means you don't need to worry about somebody giving you the mark of the beast if you are an authentic Christian, because you won't be here when that takes place. Zoe, can you believe we're out of time?
Well, we didn't get through all of our questions, but these were invited.
Thank you so much for being with me, and thank you for asking. Did you enjoy this?
Absolutely.
Praise God. I hope you enjoyed it. But Joel and I will be back in just a moment, and we are going to pray for you. Hey friends, my name is Rick Renner, and somebody has asked, what is the judgment seat of Christ? Well, it's referred to multiple times in the New Testament, but we read about it very specifically in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, which says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." And notice it doesn't say we must all grovel before the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be a moment when we stand upright, and the judgment seat of Christ is not a place where we're going to be reminded of all of our past sins. The word judgment seat is the Greek word bema. It really was a place where rewards were given. And a day is coming in my future and your future when each of us are going to stand before Jesus, and He will reward us according to how we obeyed Him in this life. And this life is a pre-qualification period for what we're going to do in all of eternity. But one day we really will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We won't grovel there. We're going to stand upright, and Jesus will reward us for our obedience.
This week, you can order all Renner products for 25% off. Take advantage of our cyber sale and stock up on powerful teaching resources this holiday season. It's the perfect time to invest in your spiritual growth or bless someone you love. In Questions and Answers with Rick Renner 2025, Rick tackles some of the most pressing spiritual questions believers are asking today. This five-part series will equip you with biblical insight and wisdom as you learn who is restraining the Antichrist, how to know if God is guiding your steps, what may be hindering your healing. This teaching is available in digital or physical formats starting at just $11. We are also offering you Denise Renner's book, Jesus is Your Healer, for $20, and Mike Clark's book, There's a Light at the End of Your Tunnel, for $20. Additionally, you can order the Fire and Foundation Bundle. Stock your library and go deeper into the Word of God. All Renner products are 25% off during our holiday cyber sale. Don't miss this special offer. The bundle of the series, Questions and Answers with Rick Renner 2025. Denise Renner's book, Jesus is Your Healer. Mike Clark's book, There's a Light at the End of Your Tunnel. And the Fire and Foundation Bundle. Call the number on your screen now or go online to renner.org to order Renner products at a special holiday discount. Call or go online now.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and I'm standing inside the partner care department of our ministry, and this is where the action takes place. Thousands of phone calls every day and every month come into this place from people reaching out to us, and this is my precious mother who is in heaven, and she established this part of the ministry. But these are the principles we are dedicated to feed the entire flock God has brought to this ministry, to strengthen those who are diseased in any area of their lives, to bring healing to those in need of any type of healing, to bind up those who are broken in any area of their lives, to bring back those that have been driven away, to reach the lost, and to take the gospel and the trusted teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth, to shepherd the flock that God has caused to hear the voice of this ministry, and to help them grow in their relationship with Christ and become powerful Bible-based believers equipped for these last days, and to thank and minister to partners whose sacrificial gifts have enabled this ministry to fulfill its call around the world. And we are very committed to these principles. And if you're a partner, you know we're very serious about that. But hey, right now we're trying to pay off this facility. So would you please become a part of the Ministry Expansion Giving Team so we can pay off this facility and then keep taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And my friends, together we can do this. And I want to say thank you so much. Well, Joel and I have had a good time with each other and with you today. Joel, hasn't this been wonderful?
Very wonderful. Full answers, very complete and enlightening. Thank you.
I look forward to this every year, and I want you to order the whole series, which is called Questions and Answers with Rick Renner, and it comes with a study guide because everything in the series we're putting in the study guide for you. This is all for you. And right now, everything on our website that is a Renner product is remarkably discounted 25%. That is amazing.
It really is. And there's a lot of product to look at.
Oh my goodness. It is just loaded with so many teaching materials, and we want you to take advantage of it. And we also want you to let us know how to pray for you. So if you have a specific prayer need, just call the number that is on the screen. And by the way, write it down. Save that number. Maybe one day you won't be watching TV, but you'll have a prayer need and you wish you had somebody to pray with you. Well, keep that number. You can call that number any hour of the day. My friends, we are waiting to hear from you. We will pray for you. Or if you wish, send us an email. And as soon as we hear from you, we're going to really release our faith. And Jesus is going to marvelously do what needs to be done. But Joel and I want to pray for you right now. Are you ready, Joel?
Absolutely.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that today we had this time in the Word. We thank you that Ecclesiastes 8:4 really says where the word of a king is, there is power. And there is so much power in the word of God. There is so much peace in the word of God. We embrace it. And we thank you that you've called us as the church to be a restraining force to hold back evil. We thank you for this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. All right. Well, Joel, when we come back tomorrow, we're going to move to the next group of questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's going to be good. So we'll see you tomorrow. Don't miss it. But remember, Ecclesiastes 8:4 says, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
Renner Ministries is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ through every available media avenue to the uttermost parts of the earth. Discover the many ways you can help us make a difference in lives around the world with the Word of God. We invite you to partner with us in teaching, strengthening, and rescuing lives for the glory of God. Together, we can make a difference that will last throughout eternity.